What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. If you are sick of dodgy influencers and people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you're in the right place, because each week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet, we discuss relevant topics, and I help you get clarity and evidence on these subjects so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journeys. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you're new here, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get incredibly amazing results. Each week, I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and we bust myths. This week, I'll be joined by pro rugby player and founder of Mentality, Stevie Ward. And earlier this week, I caught up with Tom Dean. Tom, hello. Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. How's everything been?
Good. Just trying to stay cool in all this heat at the moment. But no, all going well, thank you.
Good, I'm glad. Right, let's just jump straight into it, okay? Can you take us back to your early years? You know, how did your swimming journey begin? You know, what role kind of gave you access, and did you access to swimming and early lessons? You know, did they play a big part in your development?
To be completely honest with you, I've been in a pool for as long as I can remember. My parents wanted me to learn to swim when I was a baby. So I remember, you know, going down swimming lessons like a lot of kids did. I was really, really fortunate. We used to go for a swim as a family. I've got four brothers and sisters. I'm one of five. So we'd all kind of head down to the pool together. So learned to swim played a massive role in my life from a really, really young age. And obviously, you know, the sport of swimming has played a massive role ever since. But yeah, as long as I can remember, I've been in the water, around the water, in the pool, swimming in the sea on holiday, in lakes, rivers, wherever. My family will love it. It's a massive, massive part of who I am.
Amazing. Absolutely love that. And random question, but are you potentially a water sign? Are you into your kind of like star signs and stuff? Are you a water sign at all?
I didn't actually tell you, to be completely honest. I'm not too up to speed with my sign, so I don't actually know what I am, but it would be quite appropriate, wouldn't it,
if I was? Probably. I was just thinking maybe, but anyway, I'm not sure how interlinked it is. Anyway, we'll get on to the other stuff. So at what point did you realize swimming wasn't just a sport for you, but it was actually a life skill, a vital one at that?
Well, like I said, swimming's been a massive part of my life. It's just been enormous. It's been like going for a walk. It's, you know, being safe in the water, being confident in the water is who I am, and it's what I've always done. It's actually not until I've taken a step back and realized actually this sport, which has given me so much and its Olympic success, which is incredible, and I'm so lucky, it is actually the only sport that can save your life. And that's why, you know, learn to swim and water safety has become a real, real passion of mine. And it kind of leads on to actually why we're talking today, because what dawned on me is how many adults didn't have, you know, the upbringing I did and weren't as fortunate to get taken to learn to swim lessons and aren't confident in the water. I mean, you do look at the stats and it is crazy. 9 million British adults can't swim. Or don't say they're, you know, 33% of British adults say they're not confident in the water. And for me, as someone who's always been in and around the pool and water, and I go on holiday and it's just second nature that I'll swim and be confident in the water, that's a crazy stat. And one that I thought was, you know, this is something that, you know, is going to become a real passion of mine. If something I can make a difference in that space, then that would be an incredible change to not just the sport, but this life skill, like you said. And it, you know, it's led on to working on campaigns like I'm working on at the moment, you know, with EasyJet Holidays, where 1,000 British adults are going to get the chance for these completely free learn to swim lessons, which is getting launched today, which is an incredible initiative. So opportunities like this to make a real change to, you know, not just a sport, but a life skill, like you said, is something I'm really passionate about.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's what drew you to, you know, the campaign in particular, like helping others and helping them kind of get better at something that, yeah, it is maybe a luxury that you got to learn to do it when you were younger, but also, you know, we're very good at picking up skills when we're children and we're babies, but I think as adults, we're equally as good, we just don't want to do it, or we don't give as much time. It's like with anything. It's like with clients I work with. It's all about time and structure, and just doing a little bit each week and doing a little bit more and starting to enjoy it. When you enjoy something, you naturally kind of progress and get better at it and want to get better at it.
Completely. And especially with something like learning to swim and being safe in the water. Everyone learns that, you know, when you're young, you need to, you're crossing the road, you need to be careful with you. But actually, water's a real big danger as well. And it seems like when you become adults, you think, oh, well, that's just what kids do. There's almost a bit of a stigma around it. But actually, with adults, it's just as important. So if, and, you know, when the opportunity arose like this for 1,000 adults to get completely free learn swim lessons, and I was asked if I wanted to help kind of launch it and be involved in this campaign with EasyJet Holidays, it was an absolute no-brainer. What's actually really interesting, and it's something that I've learned, like I said, you know, water safety is something I'm really passionate about. I started my own swim school, and just doing the research when I launched that is actually with adults who have children. If they can't swim, then their children are much less likely to be able to learn to swim, and it kind of fulfills that cycle. So when adults go on holiday, and I've spoken to parents who have kids, they'll, you know, stay out the pool or they'll stay out the sea, and it kind of builds that into their children as well. So if we can really smash that and break that stigma through campaigns like this, where all these free swimming lessons given out, then I think it can make a real change to you know, making a change to those 9 million, like as a British adults that actually can't swim.
Yeah, and honestly, that's I've got here in front of me 1 in 6. So that's like, you know, that's crazy high. Yeah. That is really, really high.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think as I'm no parent, but I think people are, as parents, they're quite guilty of potentially wanting their kids to do what they enjoyed. So, for example, like you said, if the parents weren't big swimmers or they didn't really go on holiday, excuse me, they weren't, you know, big fans of going to swim, then that's going to potentially have that knock-on effect. So you mentioned you had a swim safety school as well, you said?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, you know, massive passion of mine and something I've wanted to make a change in. So I do, I've got, you know, my own swim school, the Tom Neen Swim School, and, you know, that's been running for a while. You know, these are all great opportunities to make change. You know, 1 in 6 is a staggering stat, like you said, but actually, you know, a lot of parents, like you said, want their child to maybe play football or cricket or rugby, but actually swimming's not just a sport, it is a life skill, and it is the only sport that can save your life, actually. So through projects of my own, through campaigns like this, you know, any way that I can kind of start to shift the dial on those numbers is super important. You know, I live not far from the river here at my family home. You know, you're only, what's it, 70 or 80 miles from the coast in the UK. You know, water is, you know, we're always surrounded by it, and I don't think people quite realize the danger, especially on days like this. It's a hot, warm day today. People be in and around the water. And, you know, I really hope that up and down the country, people are being safe and responsible. You know, they're all part of the tips that are getting promoted with this campaign. So, yeah, it's a real passion project of mine and something hopefully we can make a big difference on.
Well, I have no doubt you're going to make a big difference and it's going to go really well. And hopefully there can be a knock-on effect as then there'll be more projects and then maybe it will hopefully expand quite nicely. Many adults say they feel vulnerable or embarrassed in the water. What would you say to kind of help ease them with that fear?
I think there's loads of tips. The thing about swimming is it can be quite exposing. You know, we're wearing swimming costumes. You know, it's not like where you're in the gym or you're playing football or something. It is a bit more exposing in that sense. Like I said earlier, I think there is a bit of a stigma. You know, if adults can't learn to swim, sometimes a lot of them think, well, I should have learned this when I was a child. But, you know, I go down and play golf when I see adults getting golf lessons. You know, you see, I've got friends at my age who go and play five-a-side and they go and get coaching tips and stuff. It's exactly, it's no different to that.
Exactly. At a young age, can you?
Exactly.
There's not enough time. Well, there technically is loads of time, but you know.
But you're absolutely right. So, you know what? If people are feeling slightly, you know, maybe embarrassed or maybe slightly timid, well, first of all, I'd say go to the EasyJet Holidays website and sign up, because this is a great opportunity for free, you know, learn to swim lessons. So that's a great starting point. But anyone else, I'd say just take that leap of faith. Go to the first swimming lesson. There are great communities. I've got a leisure centre here in my hometown in Maidenhead that have adult learn to swim lessons. It's a fantastic community. There are people out there who are in the same boat. So you're not the only one. And if you go to a pool, look, people are much more worried about what they're doing than thinking about anyone else. So I'd say take that leap. Go for a fun swim. If you've got kids, take them along. Be in and around water. Take your time. But if you can get to a point where you're safe and confident in the water, it will make a massive, massive change to, your living, maybe your holidays. It's a really important skill to learn.
Yeah. And again, I totally agree. Like, I learned from a young age. I was very fortunate at school and in swimming lessons. My parents made me go to swimming classes and whatnot. So when it comes to learning to swim as an adult, like you said, confidence more important, or is it potentially technique as well? Because we naturally float, right, when we're on our back, but mm-hmm. not everyone feels safe doing that.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And you know, the most important thing is what the RLSS always remind us, you know, if you're in trouble, it's the basic points. It's staying calm, it's float to live, it's floating on your back, it's not panicking, it's not spending too much energy. You know, taking precaution before you even get in the water, checking the area, being with people, all this kind of stuff. These basic rules that everyone should know and everyone should stick by. Keep an eye out for a lifeguard, speaking to hotel staff if you're in a pool, whatever it might be. But actually, when it comes to the learn to swim, confidence is the most important thing from a get-go. You know, being in the water, you know, I've delivered some learn to swim lessons, and it's, you know, once people get out their depth, that can be a big change because they can't feel the bottom of the pool anymore. You know, it can be quite intimidating at first, completely understandably. But actually, once you break past that barrier and you actually think, okay, I'm out my depth, I can't touch the bottom, but I'm in a position where I'm able to tread water, stay above for however long, get to a point of safety, whatever it might be, then that makes a real big change. So confidence first and foremost. And then once you actually start to learn to swim, then yes, technique, you start to learn the strokes, kicking, and then it becomes, well, actually, no, I can get from here to the other end of the pool or that, you know, width or whatever it might be. So confidence has to come first, remembering the basic rules. And then, you know, if you love swimming like I do, then it becomes technique.
Yeah, exactly. And accessibility is clearly becoming a bit of an issue. There's over like 100 pools that have closed in the past 20 years. And some people now live quite far away, probably from their local pool. How can we start addressing this kind of gap?
I mean, there are so many problems that, you know, factor into the pool closures. We could sit here and get political and talk about councils and energy bills and all this kind of stuff. So, look, you know, they're all big factors, and cost of living and all this kind of stuff. But I think if people actually realise how great swimming can be as a group activity, you know, you go down there with your family, you bring back leisure centres being at the heart of communities, you know, youth centres, these opportunities for people to go and spend time with their friends, with their family, have a good time in the water. And the best place to start doing that is by people being safe in the water, and it's by people accessing these, you know, campaigns like free learn swim lessons when they're offered, or going out and kind of booking your swimming lesson. So I think that's a big start of it, and hopefully as the dial starts to shift, more people will actually understand the benefits of being safe in the water, how great pools are. You know, school swimming lessons, that's something I'm a really big advocate for, keeping that in the curriculum. So that needs to really stay at the heart of when we're teaching, you know, our children up and down the country. These are all factors that can start to play a role. And, you know, it is unfortunate that pools are closing. You know, this is my sport. This is a sport that's given me everything. And it's a sport I grew up with and love and still do love. So it is heartbreaking when I see that. But these are all ways that, you know, we and organisations can actually make a change for the better.
Yeah. And obviously, like, swimming has a huge physical benefit for people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's absolutely like phenomenal. What are some of the health and fitness advantages you think people overlook?
Well, first and foremost, it works your whole body. One of the few sports it does. You're constantly arms, legs, core. It's fantastic for that. The best thing about swimming, though, I think, it's completely zero impact, which means all ages can do it. All abilities can do it. You know, whether you're just starting out on your fitness journey or whether you've been, you know, training your whole life like I have, it's the best sport you can possibly. I cannot be a big enough advocate of how good it can be for your health benefits. Moving your body, being in water, the cardio benefits, obviously everything that you get from exercising normally, but it is one of the few sports. You know, not everyone is fortunate enough that they can be like, right, I'm going to go and do a 5K run, you know, be it an injury, be it, you know, a knee problems or, you know, just being able to do that. But swimming, you can start off literally just walking around the pool, treading water, slowly building up, getting some strokes in, getting that water confidence, and it all starts with swimming lessons. So it's the best sport for all that.
I mean, I totally agree with you as well. I get a lot of my clients to do swimming because they're like, I'm not a big advocate of running. I'm not a runner. I'm 120 kilos. Like for me, you can exercise can be anything as long as you're doing walking, whatever. A lot of my clients like swimming because it's like they're low impact. It works their full body. They feel good, and I also feel that, obviously you've got to focus on your breathing as well. And I spoke with a breath coach last week, and I was thinking that obviously focusing on your breathing is such an important thing because we get carried away with it. And so obviously you can't breathe underwater. You can breathe out, but you can't breathe in. So it's kind of really good for your breathing techniques as well, I guess.
No, you're absolutely right. You've really got to be focused. That's what I love about swimming. You know, oftentimes you can't whack a podcast in or take a work call or send a voice message. You're there, you just feel
You're
your body.
focused.
You focus on your breathing. It's the only time when I swim, it's the only time where I can feel every part of my body and I know, okay, how's my ankle feeling, or is my shoulder a bit tight? And you can really kind of hold it. It's almost like meditative, and I think it's great. You know, how often do we get a chance to switch off from everything and just be in silence, be in the water, and be in our own thoughts? Exactly. So I couldn't be a bigger advocate for the sport.
Yeah, nice. Right. So apart from swimming lessons, is there a realistic first step for getting started? Would you suggest, like you said, treading the water? What is there that you could potentially suggest?
I mean, obviously it's individual, depends on where everyone's starting and their base level. Honestly, just go down to the pool, get in the water, be confident, do 10 minutes, do 15, do half an hour, whatever it might be. Feel the water, feel it on your body. Build up to, like you said, treading water, even if you're just staying stationary at the end, but you can feel yourself moving the water. You know, swimming's like an art almost, especially even as we get to this high level, we always talk about feel of the water, and that's the most important thing. Use the training aids, find the floats, the pool noodles. These are all things to kind of slowly build people up to actually being able to swim lengths. And find a community as well. You know, find other people that have signed up to swimming lessons. Find your local swimming group. There are honestly, I can't stress enough how there'll be a lot of people who are in the same boat who are just wanting to find people that are going to, get on that swimming journey with them as well. So, yeah, go down to your local leisure centre, give it the support, find that community. I think it's the best way to start.
Yeah, amazing. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's great. The good thing is about local, swimming pools or local community swimming pools is that, I'm sure there's lots of groups and there's lots of people that just want to, people that may be, like I said before, concerned about getting started. But, it's all about community, right? It's all about meeting new people and just taking that deep breath. So parents that don't feel confident in the water themselves, what's your advice for keeping their children safe around the pools or maybe at sea? You've obviously mentioned flotation devices and stuff, sausages. What are they called?
Noodles. The pool
noodles, that
noodles.
was it. Sausage noodles. Okay, nice. So what kind of what would be your advice for parents that aren't maybe confident in the water but want their children to be safe around the pools and sea?
First and foremost, lead by example. If you want your child to be safe in the water and confident in the water, then make sure you're safe and confident in the water because they will look up to you, inevitably. So take it upon yourself to actually say, well, I'm going to go down to, these swimming lessons, or I'm going to access these free swimming lessons that are being offered to me. Go down with your child. Go on this journey together, both get confident in the water, make it an opportunity to spend time with your child and both learn a skill together. That's great. So I'd say take it upon yourself to be confident in the water first and foremost, especially if you want your child to. And then secondly, I would say learn the real, real basic rules of pool safety, depth checking, speaking to lifeguards, keeping an eye on your child at all times, being with them, going with, a group, never swimming alone, all these kind of things. Make sure your child knows these points, float to live, being able to tread water, all these kind of skills. So if you can do it, your child's much more likely to learn as well. And there's nothing better. I enjoy nothing more than going down to the pool or going for a swim in the sea with my brothers and sisters, with my mum, whoever it might be, and just spending time. It's a great family activity. So they're the first steps, I'd say. And look, bodies of water, they are dangerous, but if you know the right skills and you're smart about it, and like I said, you've taken it upon yourself to learn and be confident in the water, then they can be a great source of fun for all ages.
Nice. And final question. Okay. Looking ahead, What do you hope this campaign achieves? And what would success look like for you by the end of the summer with the campaign?
Well, first and foremost, and I've got no doubt that these places are going to fill up really, really quick. You know, they're all on the EasyJet Holidays website. That's where people can sign up for these free Learn Some Lessons. A success would look like 1,000 British adults who couldn't swim before and weren't confident in the water, loving swimming and having a level of confidence means they can go on holiday, be at their local pool, fall in love with the sport. That's absolutely what success looks like. Look, I'm not saying we need 1,000 more Olympians to start, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Look, absolutely. Sign up and come to one of my training sessions. But yeah, just finding the love for the sport, having that passion, learning a new life skill. You know, how often is it actually that as adults we get to learn a completely new life skill that we didn't before? It's rare. And I think this is a perfect one. So it's great for you. It's great for your fitness and health. It's great for your children if you have them in your family. So yeah, I'd say to have 1,000 British adults sign up and really love it would be success.
Amazing. That sounds great. Tom, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you? Do you have social media? Obviously, you've mentioned the campaign. Is that on the EasyJet website, correct?
Yeah, all on the EasyJet Holidays website. That's right. It can all be found. They can go and find it. Obviously on EasyJet Holidays socials. And then, my own socials, you know, Tom Dean, Instagram, everywhere else that I can be found. Yeah. So it's all online.
Amazing. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by founder of Mentality, Stevie Ward.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello.
The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under."
Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way from this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search "Don't Get Caught Out".
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What the Health.
This is What the Health on Fubar Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Stevie Ward. Stevie is a former Leeds Rhino captain and England international turned mental health advocate. He's also the founder of Mentality, a platform which helps men face mental health challenges with honesty and strength. Stevie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Good sir.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. From a former rugby fan and player myself, absolutely love having you on here. So this is going to be a great one. How are you? Good?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I'm good. It's been an incredible month, actually. I feel like I've been on not quite a world tour, but a UK tour, and speaking, and just really loving what I'm doing post my rugby career. So nice. I'm good, mate. Albeit quite a bit tired.
Yeah, I bet lots of travelling. Well, I mean, it might not be a world tour yet, but your first tour, is it?
Correct. I'd say, yeah. Nice. I'd say it's the first tour, yeah.
That's exciting. Right, okay. So what led you from rugby to launching Mentality in 2016? That's right, 2016, wasn't it?
Yes, good question. How deep do you want to go?
I want you to go as deep as you're willing to divulge.
Okay. 2016, mate, it was a big year. I obviously... My career spanned quite a bit of time, but within that time, there were some incredible highs. I was living my dream at 18 years old, playing in Wembley Stadium and Old Trafford, winning finals and playing against like the world club champions, Melbourne Storm. And at the same time, though, in and around those incredible highs came some pretty desolate lows through long-term injuries. And then I think even harder to understand was not regaining my potential when I'd just come back from the injuries. That, for me, sort of shook my world a little bit. And I came back, got back playing and went, right, you know what, this is it. I'm going to get through the adversity. I'm resilient. I'm going to get over it. This is what makes a champion. It happened again. I got another injury. It was 12 months and I was out with an ACL injury. And it was during that time where I was like, right, what is happening here? What am I doing? And why? Like, why am I doing it? And I think, like, within those questions, this sort of existential crisis, I think, at 22 years old was, like, what is it that helps us as men? What is it when we're feeling good, what comes through? What is it that, especially on the field, for how I get back and play well, how our team at times plays well, like where the commentators would watch us, and usually when we've smashed another team, they'd say, you know, taking the shackles off of this one. I'm like, what is that territory that we're speaking
having
to?
Having shackles off, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, it was like, an understanding that it was authenticity, you know, it was vulnerability, and it was these modes of living that I feel take the shackles off. And I launched Mentality at that time as a question, as a curiosity, and a mode of vulnerability to say, why do I feel like this? What's going on? I know we're men. I know we're tough, macho men, and we do probably one of the toughest,
especially
jobs
if you play
in
league.
Sport. Yeah,
especially if you play league. Wow, that is a sport.
Especially when you play rugby league.
Yeah,
and it was really a sort of thing to say, well, what is it? Why are we doing it? And that was that question of vulnerability was a mission that I've been on ever since then with Mentality, and it was an online magazine, but now it's transformed into podcast, and currently is me speaking to corporate teams, Warner Brothers, sporting team, Southampton Football, and the English cricket, you know. So I believe performance and well-being can all exist together for men.
Yeah, that's huge. And it's also brave of you to put yourself in that position, because obviously, you know, you've been through a lot with your rugby career, and obviously you're now out the other side, and it's, you know, you're doing something good, which is, you know, which is something you're clearly proud of as well, and you're quite excited about. How did your experiences with concussion change your perspective on mental health?
Well, I mean, I think I think for me, the concussion was something that obviously I still live with today, in terms of headaches and dizziness and vertigo and having to manage my working life. As I say at the start, I've been really tired because there's been quite a lot of load I've gone through to make this thing work, you know, to do what I'm passionate about when it takes a lot out of me. And I think really the concussion has been something where I've just had to accept that life isn't as easy as A gets to B, or, you know, the sequential nature of how I feel that life works. And I've just not been able to get fully better, and I hope to get better. But I've had to accept it and live with the concussion and live with the impact that it's had on my life. And ultimately, it's been another bout of adversity where I feel it tells me that surrender, in essence, is the best way to win, you know, with what life can throw at us.
Yeah. And so why do you feel it was crucial to kind of tackle men's mental health stigma? You know, because obviously there's a big stigma about it still, you know, in modern day society. Why did you feel it was crucial to kind of tackle this?
I think because the stigma is, in essence, the issue. You know, I think the stigma is the thing which prevents us from being with life as it is. You know, like there's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with being angry. It's the resistance to the emotion, which you could say is stigma, which is the thing that causes the most issue. Like if we were to live as we are when we're children, and to allow emotion to pass through us as it does, and as if you spend any time around a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, you know that 10 minutes ago they were in absolute joy and bliss, and then, you know, currently they're in absolute sadness or rage or whatever it is. And so that the way that I see life is to allow it all to move through, and stigma is in essence a blockage to that. And what well-being, performance and creativity is available without blocking it out, you know.
Yeah. And with Mentality's, you know, mission, how would you describe in one sentence Mentality's mission?
Wow, that's an amazing question.
Well, if it's not a sentence, a little bit more is, you know, brief summary, you know, what is the aim? You know, what are you wanting to truly achieve?
To allow men to realize that mindset is the first point of address when it comes to well-being and happiness.
Yeah, I love that.
That's what I would say. It's all of it is in the way we think about the world, the way we think about ourselves, and most of that is just things that we've picked up as we've grown up for safety, you know. Whereas, you know, if you want to live a life beyond your wildest dreams, it's about taking the shackles off that we've used to feel safe, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I say this quite a lot, and I've said this quite a few times, but I also feel that comparison is the thief of all joy. I think we live in a society and a world now with all this social media and stuff where people will look at someone else, or they'll look at, you know, your career, or they'll look at someone else's career and they'll go, oh, I wanted to achieve that. I could have done that. You know, stop comparing yourself to someone else. We're all very different. You know, focus on a clearer and better mindset and you will be able to achieve other things and, you know, your full potential. What would you say the biggest mental challenges are that men face after life-changing injuries? Because obviously you've sustained, you know, with the concussion, you know, what would you say the biggest mental challenges?
I think a lot of it is grief. That is one of the things that you have to realize that is a part of the human experience when you lose something. You know, if you have a big injury, you are losing the game, you know, you're losing the job, whatever it is what you were doing day to day, and how you identify with that, you know, like your identity around that, you are losing that. So there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of grief within that. And, you know, for me, in my experience, I had to realise that a lot of that grief caused anxiety as well. You know, because I think you know, as human beings, we have the natural ability to love. You know, we're so it's so baked within us to love. However, to love something is to risk, you know, because ultimately you're going to lose whatever you love. Yeah. And I think about that in essence with my first ever love apart from my family was rugby league.
Yeah.
And I risked and I loved that, and ultimately I lost it, and that's where the anxiety comes. Yeah. And you know, I relate it to sport when, you know, you see a team that go out and play and they blow another team off the field, and they say, you know, we all sort of see that they have quote unquote nothing to lose.
Mm.
It's because they're okay with the fear of loss. They're okay with giving it everything and not having to get something expectant in return.
Yeah.
So that's how I'd qualify that losing something or the injury is a lot of grief, and it's about your relationship to risk and love again, really.
Yeah, and I can understand that. You know, it's when it takes up such a big part of your life. And, you know, you lose that. It's kind of, you know, like you said, loss of identity, the anxiety, that kind of, that loss. Mm-hmm. How does therapy, coaching and your podcast work together to support men?
So I think the podcasts we have, or I've been very, very vulnerable. So there's conversations on there which are open and wide ranging, and that tends to intersect with the option for therapy. You know, that tends to intersect with the option for counselling. And I think men, when they engage with something, and especially men that have had a sport in mind and a nature, as soon as they turn to something where they feel like it's going to help them to get better, or it's going to help them to be a better dad or a husband or a better human being, they see that as the thing that is going to support them. Yeah. And they go for it from there.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, and it's obviously, like you said, that leads back to the mindset, doesn't it? And it leads back to, you know, men wanting to just be better in any way, shape or form. So, no, I like that. And the vulnerability on the podcast is super important, because I think as men, sometimes we need someone to show us that it's okay, or potentially that someone else has felt a similar way to us, for us to then feel comfortable to do it. You know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a sheep mentality, but I would say it's a, oh, you feel similar? Okay, well, that's funny, because I actually feel similar to you. And, you know, it then kind of causes that snowball effect, doesn't it? And people then start to talk and open up and be more comfortable. So
yeah, totally. And in essence, you know, like vulnerability, Brené Brown, who's done 20 years of research on shame and vulnerability and courage, who states that vulnerability is the best measure of courage, because in essence, vulnerability is uncertainty, risk and emotional exposure. So when we have men around us, when we have people around us that are being vulnerable, that actually allows us to do the same. That makes us feel safer. There's less risk in it for us to do the same. And that's where we find where we find true well-being and happiness.
What mindset tools from Mantality can our listeners start using today?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say it'd be a tool. I'd say it's a way of life. I'd say it's understanding a way of being in the world, which transforms your world. Like if you think about the world that occurs to you when you, for instance, I don't do this many times, but when you pick up a hammer you're gonna see nails, you know. Like, and it's about the mode in which you choose to live life. What has been successful for me in life and got me to be a captain of Leeds Rhinos and I won a load of trophies was scaring myself to death to do it and to play well and to be good. And however, it also has cost a lot. And I think about the way that I live life now is that I'm already whole, I'm already complete, I'm already enough. So that, in essence, is the way that I approach life and the way that I am with uncomfortable emotions is that it's just a part of it rather than being an issue and rather than it being a burden.
Yeah, I like that.
So, and it's a much easier way to manage life there. And as soon as I come out of that and I have feelings of uncertainty and fear and shame, I just bring myself back to that mode. Mm. And then what I see in the world changes from who I be in the world.
Okay. I mean, I just appreciate you, by the way, and you know your honesty and your authenticity and all of this today. This is a good chat. Like I'm enjoying this. And how can sports teams and workplaces better support concussion individuals and survivors of it?
Yeah, I think it for me. Like, I think the thing that my mind goes to is like an understanding of fear, of psychological safety and of choice and how, in essence, that is where a lot of issues can be resolved for me, you know? Like, obviously, in rugby, people are going to get injured, people are going to get concussion.
Yeah.
And it's understanding that is obviously a factor. And I think at the same time, the more and more we feel safe around each other, the more and more we feel like we're aware of the risks, the more and more we have governance and ability to look after ourselves as human beings. Mm. You know, that's for me is like the thing that I feel is like at the crux of a lot of stuff that we can put to good use, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And final question. Because we are a little bit short on time, my friend. What's next for Mantality? Have you got, you know, new content, partnerships, any new services? What's next?
I think Mantality, in combination with my own personal brand, we are actually excited to be working with different sporting organisations. And there's a huge thing that I'm really excited about coming up with the ECB, where we're going to be running a session on authentic leadership, which is covering a lot of what we spoke about today, where we'll be rolling that out to countywide, to county cricket.
Nice.
And there is more talks, more the people that I work with generally, like the creative and the sporting world. Mm. So it's more like, I guess, what would you say, business to business stuff, in a way, more workshop stuff. And there's going to be some courses on my website on stevieward.co.uk very soon, which entail everything I'm speaking about, a five-step process really to this way of being and this understanding.
Okay, amazing stuff, right? Stevie, we are going to have to stop there, but thank you so much for your time, your vulnerability, your honesty. Where can people find you online? You know, you've got websites, you've got social media. Yes. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at a username that I made when I was 16 years old. It's Steve_Ward. Steve_Ward. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and then you can find me on LinkedIn. I don't know how to tell you how to go there, but Stevie Ward and it'll come up. StevieWard.co.uk, Mantality.co.uk.
Perfect.
And I'd love to hear from you, and if you send us an email, that'd be pretty beautiful. And I've loved speaking to you today as well, my friend.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. Yeah, I really appreciate you. I really appreciate your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you, mate.
Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right, guys, coming up after this short break, we'll be doing some listener questions.
FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. Right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
What the hell? With Georges Bertineau. Exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Now it's time for some listener questions. So, first question is from Sarah. I've been training 5 days a week, but I still feel consistently fatigued. Am I overtraining, or could it be sleep and diet? Sarah, it could probably be all three, if I'm honest with you. Sleep is the most important thing for recovery. 7 to 9 hours, 8 is obviously great, but some people need 7, some people need 9, some people need 8, so that's important. Are you keto? Are you cutting out carbs because you've been told that it's magically going to help you overnight? Well, if you're low on carbs, I'd probably say get some carbs in you and make sure you're eating enough. If you are fatigued and you're in a calorie deficit, try and up your food just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit until you stop losing weight, and then you can start dropping it again a little bit until you obviously improve your fatigue levels, and potentially you are overtraining. But again, I don't know enough about your training program, so hopefully that helps. Jake says, I've been eating clean and doing cardio, but I can't seem to lose the last 10 pounds. What else should I look at? Well, scientifically, if you are not losing the weight, you aren't eating in enough of a deficit, Jake. So, and just because you eat clean doesn't mean anything, because technically, if you ate 10,000 calories of clean food or 10,000 calories of not clean food, technically, you're in a surplus. So it doesn't really matter if it's clean, dirty, whatever you want to refer to it as. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is a calorie deficit. I would avoid cardio and I would stick to weight training, as it's scientifically backed to be the best thing for fat loss. Obviously, if you're looking to lose 10 pounds of fat, then this is vital for you, weight training. But also, cardio can cause inflammation if you're going on longer runs, but also do not be doing exercise to help promote your fat loss. You should be using weight training for fat loss, yes. But the calorie deficit needs to be the main focus and the main drive. Hope that helps. Emma I've just started lifting and want to build strength without bulking up. How often should I train and what should I focus on? If you're a beginner, 3 times a week, 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps is fantastic. Resistance machines, free weights are a little bit more complicated, but resistance machines are a great start. You say you don't want to bulk up. Technically, you're not going to bulk up overnight, but building muscle tissue is going to help you live longer. It's going to help you be stronger. It's also going to help you, because Emma, I'm assuming you are female. Obviously, assumption is the root of all evil, but I'm assuming from your name that is going to help you with any sort of bone issues that you might have, because women are more susceptible to them. Strength training is super important, and don't worry about getting bulky, because you're not going to just get bulky overnight. And Tom says, I've totally lost motivation to train, even though I know it helps my mental health. Any advice? Tom, discipline is the most important thing. If you're training for your mental health, then my biggest piece of advice is you need it. So you should do it. If you don't want to train, go for a walk, eat a better meal, and just go from there. And guys, it's just a massive thank you from me today and our guests, Tom and Stevie. A reminder, you guys can download the app and listen each week, and you can follow us on social media. We are What The Health Show on Instagram. If you are struggling with any of your health and fitness goals, I provide a top tier coaching service, which is no BS problem solving, and I will hold your hand every step of the way. If you're interested in this, please reach out at gb.fitness.health or at George Burt on Instagram. Also, the show is available to listen back to on all good podcasting platforms. As always, we are back next week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. A massive thank you from me. I'm George. Thanks for listening. Happy hump day. Love you. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.